you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday. It's August 15th, 2016. And Jason just came into the studio very enthusiastic, very excited about a book that he just finished this morning. And he said, Mark, I got to tell you the story before we get Chuck on the line, Pastor Chuck on the line. And so for the first 5 or 10 minutes, he was recounting a special story. And he said, oh, I appreciate so much about this book and about this author and this individual, this pastor, because he's from my old stomping grounds, and some of the acknowledgments in this book are people that I know. And so, Jason, thanks for joining me for today's edition,
Thank
Mark
you.
And Friends, and thanks for recommending this book, 41 Will Come, Holding On When Life Gets Tough and Standing Strong Until a New Day Dawns. And you recommended this, Jason, and kind of set up this interview with Pastor Chuck. So we're excited to share you with our Great News Radio listeners, Pastor Chuck, and I'll have Jason give the honors of highlighting you to our Great News Radio listeners.
Pastor Chuck Tate is the pastor of Rock Church in Peoria, Illinois. We know a growing and thriving community that wants to make much of the Lord. And Chuck, I just want to welcome you this morning to our Great News Radio audience.
Pastor Jason, so great to be with you, Mark. Thank you. I'm excited to be with the Great News listeners and you guys today.
Hey, Chuck, this book was really interesting. Like Mark already said, I came in, I was pretty enthusiastic about it. And really, as I was reading it, and I told my wife this morning, there are so many people I want to get this book in their hands because they're at different points in this kind of line between the number one and the number 40, you know, where suffering or struggle or difficult times begin and where God really kind of everything lines up and God makes manifest his purposes in their lives. Why did you write the book, 41 Will Come?
I wrote it because, you know, pastoring the same church now for 18 years, I guess the one constant thing that is reminded to me is how many people are hurting, how many people are struggling. And I myself, even in pastoring a church for 18 years, and I'm sure Pastor Jason, you know, as well, I mean, we all experience seasons of setback. We go through storms. You know, sometimes we make bad choices and we bring the storms upon ourselves, but there are other times where a storm will just show up out of nowhere. And so many people are hopeless. So many people have given up on their dreams. So many people have quit or thrown in the towel, thrown up their arms. So I wrote this book really to fuel people's faith, to believe the Word of God, to stand on the Word of God and say, you know what, it's not over. I'm going to dream again. I'm going to give God the opportunity to bring something good from something bad. I mean, that's what he does, overcome evil with good. He can take something the enemy meant to destroy and turn around and do something great. So that's really the answer to the question, Pastor Jason, is why I wrote the book.
I've heard often you be described in your role as pastor as a hope bringer. Can you tell me how do you be, because oftentimes I know in pastoral ministry when we're hope bringers, sometimes we marginalize truth to try and make people feel better. How do you balance being a hope bringer and a truth teller?
I think the answer to that is we have to stick to the word. And the reality is, as followers of Jesus, we're all hope bringers. This isn't just a title that I've given to myself. But Peter said that we all need to be ready to give an answer regarding the hope that we have. So if we have Christ, we have hope. That doesn't mean that everything's going to be easy, but that means that we have a God who is going to take us through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't have to stay there. We don't have to put up a tent and camp out there the rest of our life, but God will walk us through. And I love in the book of Luke that when the Word of God says that the good news will bring great joy, and it's for all people. So we know the gospel is good news. It's not bad news. It's good news. It does bring great joy, and it's for everyone. So if we're a follower of Christ, we have Jesus on the inside of us, we should all be hope bringers because he's hope.
Yeah. So how does then this translate into the book? I mean, walk us through. What does this mean, 41 will come?
All right. The whole theme, 41 will come, is founded on the biblical significance of that number. For example, when you read scripture, most of the time when we see the number 40, it represents a season of waiting, a season of struggle, or a season of perseverance. And oftentimes that 41st day or the 41st year is what ushers in a second chance, a new beginning, a giant falling. So let me just give you a few examples. Number one, early in the Bible, it rained 40 days, 40 nights. 41 came and the rain stopped. Moses committed murder and then hid on the backside of a desert 40 years. 41 came and he received a second chance when he was commissioned by God to be the rescuer of Israel. Then the children of Israel, after being rescued from Egypt and going through the Red Sea on dry ground, they went right into a wilderness period, not for 40 days, but for 40 years. But 41 came, and a new generation entered the promised land. Goliath, he challenged Israel 40 days, begging somebody to fight him. But 41 came, and David slew Goliath. Jonah went to Nineveh for 40 days to deliver this message of doom and gloom that God was going to wipe out the city of Nineveh, a city of more than 120,000 people because of its wickedness. But 41 came, and the king and the people responded with repentance, and instead God extended grace and mercy. And then a couple other examples from the New Testament. Jesus fasted and prayed in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. He was tempted by the devil. In other words, the enemy tried to take him out before he even began. But he spoke the word. 41 came. The devil fled. Angels showed up. And then Jesus launched his epic ministry. And then after he went to the cross to fulfill what he came to do, was resurrected from the grave, then he appeared to his disciples for 40 days and commissioned them to advance his kingdom, to wait for the Holy Spirit, to begin the church. And 41 came, the Holy Spirit showed up, they were empowered. Peter got up with boldness and preached a message that saw 3,000 people respond and give their lives to Christ. And that's how the church was launched. And, you know, Mark and Pastor Jason, here we are more than 2,000 years later. We're still that church talking about how big our God is. So 41 Will Come is a book of hope that says you might be in a season, whether it's 40 days or 40 years, a season of suffering or unforeseen circumstance and setback, perhaps in a downpour, an overwhelming storm, a storm wandering the wilderness, lost in the desert, staring at a giant that stands between you and your destiny, you and your dream, your vision. So the message is don't quit. 41 Will Come.
Mm-hmm. You know, recently in a message that I was giving at my own church, I pointed at the Bible and I said, if it happened in here, let's not disconnect the Bible from our lives. If it happened in here, it can happen in here, in our church and within our community. So how does this number 41 in Scripture represent a new day or a new beginning for somebody who is in a difficult season, a hopeless season? Do they need to count and go, okay, well, maybe I'm at the 41st minute or the 41st day or the 41st year? How will somebody navigating this look at Scripture and look at these numbers and draw hope from them?
Well, one, this is where faith comes in. As we hear the Word of God, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and by continually hearing the Word of God. So that is our source. That's where we go to. That's what we stand on. That means we believe when we're in the middle of the storm. We believe when we're in the middle of the desert. We believe when we're staring at the giant or when we're laying on our back and the giant is standing over us, taunting us. This is where we find out, okay, do we believe or not? I know, I'm confident that if we will stand on the Word of God, feed ourselves the Word of God, declare the Word of God, we will believe it, that God really will see us through. It might not be the answer we want or even in our timeline, but God will intervene. He will help us. So when we're in that season, whether it's 40 days or 40 years, whether we're on day two or day 27 or year, 17, it all comes down to trusting God.
In case you just tuned in, you're listening to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. Our special guest on today's program is Pastor Chuck Tate. He serves as the lead pastor at the Rock Church in Peoria, Illinois, and he's the author of this new book, 41 Will Come, Holding On When Life Gets Tough and Standing Strong Until a New Day Dawns. And Chuck, I'm opening up to the table of contents, and I appreciate one of your chapters is When 41 Doesn't Come, but you had some other pithy or interesting titles of chapters, Pats and the Postponed Dream, Fee-Fi-Fo-Fum, Tougher Than Hell, Can You Hear Me Now, 10-4 Good Buddy, Smash Mouth, Shake It Off, Rock Stance, boom goes the dynamite, reckless charge, win-win, and then, as I mentioned, when 41 doesn't come. As you were penning this, as God put these concepts, these truths, these thoughts into your mind, and you just felt compelled to write, was there a certain chapter that as you were writing it, I know sometimes this happens with Jason as he's preaching. He's studied all week, divided God's word, he's thought about it. And then as he's preaching, sometimes he finds himself preaching to himself, like the Holy Spirit infuses new thoughts or concepts into his mind. He's like getting convicted as he's sharing. Was there something that as you wrote really stirred in your heart, like, wow, God, I hadn't even thought of that?
Yeah, well, Mark, again, thank you so much for having me, Pastor Jason, and great news listeners. Yes, there's one chapter that stands out the most is a chapter called Shake It Off. And this is the chapter where we talk about shaking off doubt and doubters, self-doubt, and, of course, all the naysayers out there. And even in the midst of writing this, there were days where I felt, this is bad. No one's going to want to read this. There were days where I hit a wall. There were times where I just looked at the screen. I didn't have anything else to say. I struggled with confidence, but in the end, I had to trust God. I knew that God was the one who put this idea in my heart. It was Holy Spirit led. I had to be obedient. It was a dream for more than 15 years, and for many of those years, I talked about it. I preached about it, but I didn't do it. And I finally sat down and began to do it, and that's when the enemy tried to use doubt to knock me down. So as I was writing that chapter, I realized this is something that I need to practice. Yeah, I need to practice what I preach in all the chapters, but that was the one that probably now looking back stands out the most. And even since the book has come out and there's great reviews and I'm hearing good things and I've received some messages and emails from people that are receiving hope and whose faith has been fueled, you know, all it takes is one person to be negative in it, and at times it shakes me. So I have to go right back to the chapter that I wrote, and I've got to shake it off. Haters are going to hate. Not everyone's going to be happy. Not everyone's going to be excited about my dream. David, as soon as he purposed in his heart that he was going to fight Goliath, his own brothers, his own family didn't believe in him. And I think that is one of the hardest things that we can go through when we are pursuing a dream that we know God has put there. You know, obviously, you expect the enemy to mock you. Goliath mocked David. You expect that. He's the giant. But you don't expect your family to mock you. And sometimes you can share, you can share your dream with the wrong people, and it can be met with criticism. But it's really hard when you share your dream with the right people, and it's met with criticism. David, he had to shake off that doubt. And if he thought long enough about his own brothers telling him to go home, and even his own king, King Saul, who told him, don't be ridiculous. There's no way that you can fight and win against this giant. He could have allowed self-doubt to creep in, and that could have prevented him from being the person he was created to be. But he didn't. He shook it off. He shook off those words of doubt, and he listened to God. So I'm not saying we should shake off wise counsel, but, you know, in the end, at the end of the day, Mark and Pastor Jason, we have got to obey God. We have got to listen to him. We have got to do what he is asking us to do. And David did that. And what's surprising to me is here you have a king who has an entire army who has heard this enemy for 40 consecutive days, day and night, issue this challenge. And not one person in Saul's army would fight. And then a young teenager says, yes, I'm going to do it. You would think that he would be happy that finally somebody stepped up. But no, he wasn't. So we can learn a great lesson that, and I learned a great lesson in that. You know what? God has called me to write this book. I have to plow through and just trust him. So I hope that answers your question.
You know what, Chuck, there's I don't want to spoil it for anybody because it's really a great story, but those of us who have eaten at either the Bloomington or the Morton Peoria area pizza ranch have had what you call in the book the best fried chicken ever, and I can attest to that. I don't want to spoil that story for anybody, but there's a difficult season that the owner at that restaurant particularly went through, and there was a quote in your book that he said to you that I underlined. And it said during that season where he was feeling rejected and dejected throughout the whole process, he says, I know that God is on the throne, but I'm thinking maybe he got kicked off at some point. He says, I'm not trying to be sacrilegious. I'm just trying to keep it real. And it made me think about later in the book, I think it's on page 130 here, you say, every place we go is preparation for where God is taking us. God can use our past experiences, good and bad, to prepare us for future battles. In today's kind of day and age and a lot of books and different things, there is not a healthy understanding of the sovereignty of God. And I really appreciate it here that you're saying that God is sovereign. You're saying that the past, present, and the future is authored by Him, and it's preparation for the things that we're going to face. Can you touch on that, how important you believe the sovereignty of God is? And then also, how does that help us in these seasons where we're waiting for 41 to come?
Absolutely, Pastor Jason. I appreciate that. And yes, my friend John, the owner of the Pizza Ranch in Morton, Illinois, in Peoria, Illinois, is a great example of somebody who very easily could have thrown in the towel, thinking, you know what, maybe God doesn't have my back like I thought He did, because things didn't get better. They kept getting worse. And, you know, sometimes you take a step forward, two steps back, but he just kept taking steps back. It was going backwards. And I just love the tenacity of his faith, even though he felt like, yeah, maybe, like you just said, he wasn't being sacrilegious. God's on a throne, but I feel like maybe he got kicked off because I'm not getting a break here. Nothing seems to get better. Yet, you are God. You are sovereign. I will trust you. And I think one of the greatest examples of somebody who walked that out is David. When you read the Psalms, because one Psalm, David is rejoicing, God, you're my rock, you're my salvation. You know, and the next one is, God, where are you at? My enemies want to hunt me down and kill me. I'm alone. You know, I'm this, I'm that. And then the next chapter is, you know, praise the Lord, you are God. I will trust you. And that's real life. And that's who we are as well. So if we really truly believe with all our heart that God is sovereign, that means we have to trust Him when everything in our life is unraveled, even in the midst of our own shortcomings and our own mistakes. I'm so glad that God doesn't consult with our past when determining our future. His plans are good. They're filled with hope, even in the midst of overwhelming loss and grief. And John is a great example of somebody who said, yet I will trust you. No matter what happens, you're sovereign. I will trust you. You know, no matter what the future looks like, I love that.
I always say to the folks in my congregation that information without application is just information. Mm-hmm. We just learned something, but now what are we supposed to do with it? And you say in the book on page 134, if you take the time and effort today to prepare, work, and hustle, when God opens your door tomorrow, you'll be ready to seize that moment. What are some ways that a listener today who's in a difficult season, who maybe is where John was, and where other people, other stories in the book, I love that the book is peppered with so many personal stories, which means that it tells me you love your people like crazy because you know what their lives are all about. And I was so encouraged by that part of it. But what are some ways that somebody who's in one of those seasons can today begin to prepare, work, and hustle to be ready for that day when God is going to say, 41 has come?
Again, yeah, Mark, Pastor Jason, I appreciate it. You know, one of my favorite scriptures is found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 3. It says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. It doesn't say that it will be easy and there won't be hardship, but ultimately we have to give whatever we're going through to the Lord. You know, so if I will take my plan, if I will dream and make sure that my desires line up with the Word of God, because Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So I believe, first of all, we need to go right to the Word, feed ourselves the Word. The Word is the key. We got to line everything up with Scripture. It's all about the Word. He is the Word. So if we will take our plans, our desires that we believe came from Him and offer them to Him and give them to Him, our plans become His plans, and His plans don't fail. And I believe that then we have to do our part. So we give our dream, our desires, and we give everything to God. And we know He will always do His part. But faith without works is dead. We have to be willing to walk it out. We have to prepare ourselves. We have to hustle. We have to practice. We have to put one foot in front of the other. And God will ready us. He will strengthen us. He will help us to be able to endure. So if we fill ourselves up with the Word of God and we do what we're supposed to, then I believe that's when He will open those doors, and we'll be ready to go through those doors if we have done our part.
Well, I just want to say to the Great News Radio listeners that you often hear me commend to you different books to read, books by Charles Spurgeon and Martin Lloyd-Jones and J.I. Packer and all different kinds of authors. And today I'm going to tell you that this book ministered to me. I was really encouraged by this. So, Chuck, you're in good company in terms of my telling people what books that they ought to read. And so if you get a chance, maybe head to your local Barnes & Noble, head to Amazon.com, pick up a copy of 41 Will Come, Holding On When Life Gets Tough, and Standing Strong Until a New Day Dawns. You can also go to TyndaleMomentum.com. That's TyndaleMomentum.com. Purchase a copy there for $15.99. Pastor Chuck, will you do us a favor and will you close our program in prayer for that person that maybe they're in that season? Today they heard that and they said, I really do believe 41 will come, but it's difficult today. It's really hard. Will you close the program in prayer for that listener?
Absolutely, Mark. Thank you. And also thank you, Pastor Jason. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I thank you so much for the Great News listeners, and specifically commit to you that one individual right now who's on the verge of quitting. Maybe even before listening to this show, they said, that's it, I'm done, I give up. But I thank you, God, that you're a God of second chances. You are a God of hope. And I thank you, Jesus, no matter what we encounter, no matter where we go, you are already there. And I just pray right now, God, that you will fuel our faith to trust you, to believe you. I pray, Jesus, that you will strengthen every single listener right now. I pray, Lord, that their faith will be fueled. I pray more than anything that, God, they will just put their trust in you, whether they're in a downpour, whether they're in a desert, that one person that's in a wilderness who needs a second chance, that one individual right now, God, who is staring at a giant who is standing between them and their dream come true or their miracle or their victory. God, others listening have already been knocked down by a giant, and the enemy is standing over them, taunting them, mocking them. God, I'm reminded of your word in Micah chapter 7. It says, do not gloat over me, O my enemies. Though I have fallen, I will get back up. So I thank you by faith right now, God, that you are helping every single listener to get back up. God, we can dream again because of you, because of who you are, and because of what your word says. We thank you, God. Greater is he who's in us than he that's in the world. So today, Jesus, we put our trust in you, and by faith, we thank you for dreams fulfilled. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And all of God's people said, amen. Oh, that chorus from the Champaign-Urbana area. Maybe it's making it over to you there in Peoria. Thanks, Pastor Chuck, for being available for today's edition of Mark and Friends.
Hey, thank you, Mark. Thank you, Pastor Jason. And I'm excited to be able to talk to Pastor Jason because, like he said at the beginning of the show, we're from the same stomping ground. So, man, bless you guys. Bless the Great News listeners. I was honored to be with you today.
Thank you so much, Pastor Chuck.
All right, Great News Radio listeners, the book is titled 41 Will Come, Holding On When Life Gets Tough, and Standing Strong Until a New Day Dawns. Maybe you're at day 3 or day 40 and you're waiting for that breakthrough. Cast your cares on him because he cares for you. God is in that redemptive business and he wants to work in and through you, and he desires to flourish you in the days ahead as you walk in accordance with his will. So keep praying and get multiple copies of this book purchased right away for your friends and family members. 41 Will Come by Chuck E. Tate. And he's the lead pastor at the Rock Church in Peoria. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.